All right, welcome to Hebrew Club, you guys. We're starting a new book, Obadiah, and we'll get through that one in nice shape, but it's one that's often overlooked, but it's a very powerful book, and has, you know, our own Professor Robbie has written the Anchor Bible, so I was looking through that today, and there's just so much in there, it's just like ridiculous. It's like every word's a chapter for his book, so crazy. So we'll have fun reading through it. And kind of getting to know this little bitty, neglected but important prophet. So I'm going to start with verse 1. There's only one chapter. Chazon Ovadia. Ko amar Adonai Elohim le'edom. Shemua. Shemanu me'et Adonai v'tzir bagoyim shulach. Kumu ve'nakuma aleha la milchama. All right, so Chazon Ovadia, the vision of Obadiah, and notice that that means one who serves the Lord, Avad, to serve, and Yah, okay? Koamar, thus spoke the Lord God, Adonai, Yahweh, Le'edom, to Edom. Now notice some suggest that this is concerning Edom, the Lamed can be either concerning or to. But its syntactical arrangement makes it easier to take as an indirect object, and most of the prophecy is spoken to Edom anyway, although you will see translations that vary there, okay? We have heard a report, Shemua. So notice that Shemua is just a noun with the same root as the perfect verb Shamanu, first common plural, Shamanu, we have heard. So a report we have heard. And again there, you know, notice the play on words that's going on there. And so there's kind of a biting edge, I suppose, that the syntax and morphology might convey. A report we have heard from Adonai. And a tzir, okay, that is a word, I mean, it's not that common of a word. It means envoy or messenger. Among the nations, shulach. Now, there's a form you don't see every day, right? That's a pu'al perfect from shalach. And a messenger has been sent among the nations. So we have heard a report from Adonai, and an envoy or a messenger among the nations has been sent. All right. Now you have an imperative, kumu. That's an imperative, okay, plural, masculine plural, imperative, call. And then you have venakuma. All right, notice that that's a cohortative, first common plural cohortative. So it's let us rise. So it's easiest if you take that kumu as kind of an interjection or I guess an exclamatory particle, kind of like get up and let's go or something like that. Depends on how you want to negotiate those two. You know, it's very woodenly, it'd be rise and let us rise. But see, in English we have all these exclamatories like come on, let's go, or something like that. So I would translate that kumu with that kind of a force. Okay? And now the aleha, notice that the suffix here, the feminine suffix, is referring to Edom. Okay? So it's something like get up and let's rise against her for milchama, for war. Okay? All right, great. We're on Obadiah chapter 1. Verse 1. Just finished it. Any questions through verse 1? All right. Very good. Verse 2. Hine katon netatika bagoyim bazui atame'od. Look, small. Now notice that this is natatika from natan. It's a perfect form, just a call perfect, first common singular. I have set you among the nations as a small one. As insignificant, okay? You will notice through here that it becomes clearer as you go through that sometimes he's definitely referring to the future destruction of Edom. And you'll see it perfect verb. So a lot of times these are, most of the time they're taken as prophetic perfects. So that he's referring to the future. Now, the point is, how do you translate them? Do you translate them as will, which most translators don't, but some do. So, I will set you among the nations as an insignificant one. So, it's as good as it has happened, all right? Or you could translate it in the sense that he's been shown this vision, Obadiah has. So Obadiah has been shown this vision, and he's reporting it to you. So he's kind of seeing the future from the perspective of the past, as if he's watched a movie. That's kind of how I take it and just translate the perfects that way. But again, it's going to be what kind of perspective do you interpret the prophet to be taking on the vision? Okay. So just beware of that as we're going through. You'll see this again. So I've made you insignificant among the nations. Bazui, notice that that is a call passive participle from baza. Okay, the hey at the end is a phony hey, so you get the yud back. And you get this form. So it means to despise. So despised are you, oh, you are greatly despised. Okay. Verse 3, Zidon, Libka, Hishieka, Shokni, Bechag, Vesela, Merom, Shivto, Omer, Bet, Libo, Mi, Yoridani, Aretz. Okay, now notice that form, Shokni. It's taken as evocative. He is addressing Edom. And this is a participle. Okay, now notice the ending of it. See that Hirik Yud ending? That is the remains probably of an old case ending, a kind of a genitive ending. Notice that the plural construct form is usually has a little sere under there with the yud. Here you have this form, and you have, it's not that uncommon really. And a preposition, the bait, intervenes then between the genitive and the construct form. Okay, so literally it's inhabitors. I mean, woodenly it would be, you inhabitants of in crags of rock. But it just indicates a close connection between the participle and the next word. So you would just really translate it as, you dwellers in the chagve sela, in the crags or the clefts of rock. So notice they're cliff dwellers. What's that?
Did we have the first line?
Oh, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Sorry, I got there too quick. Zidon is pride. So the pride of your heart, Hishieka, has deceived you. That is a hifil form from Nasha. Nasha can mean two different things, to lend or to deceive. And here it means in this context to deceive. So the pride of your heart has deceived you, O you inhabitants or dwellers in the crags or clefts of rock. Merom, now notice again, Shevet means seat, and Merom is taken from the root room to be high, so Marom is a height, so the height of his seat. Okay, now what makes it difficult is that you have a switch in pronouns from second person to third person. All right, everybody see that? He's talking to Libka, second person, Shivto, third person. That switch is a common stylistic feature in both poetry and prophecy. You see it commonly. To the Western ear, it sounds really weird, and most translations, since he's talking to Edom in English, you need almost the second person. That's why you will see it translated or negotiated in various ways to kind of smooth that out. But it's common in Hebrew. All right, kind of a stylistic feature. So, O inhabitants in the clefts of rock, and literally, again, it's the height of his seat. So whose seat is high. In other words, Edom, you know, must have been kind of perched up. All right. And now you have a participle, Omer, again. One who says, or you who say, Belibo, in his heart. See, again, now you have that switch to third person. All right, so again, translation will go, in whose heart it is said, or one says, or even you say, who, Yoridani, will bring me down? That is a hifil from Yarad, to go down. Here's the hifil, makes the intransitive verb transitive. Who will bring me down? Yoridani, okay, plus the first masculine, first common singular suffix. Who will bring me down? Aretz, to the earth. Okay, so again, O you inhabitants in the clefts of rock, high is your dwelling, you who say in your heart, again, I'm making a better translation, one who says in his heart, who will bring me to the earth? Okay, any questions about verse 3? All right. Im tagbiaka nesher ve'im bein kokavim sim kineka misham oridika ne'um Adonai. Okay, if tagbiha, gava in the call form means to be high. So here in the hifil imperfect, notice that the stative verb becomes active, either transitive or intransitive. So if you, you can make it intransitive, if you rise up as the eagle, you can do that, okay? Or if between kokavim, stars, now look at that seam, it's a little problematic, usually translated as a call passive participle from seam. Very strange form. You don't see it at all. And usually you'd expect a hole in there, sum or som. All right? But let me translate first and talk a little more. And if between the stars your nest is placed. All right? You could also take this as an infinitive absolute and translate it as the finite verb tagbia. Because a lot of times, remember, infinitive absolutes can function as finite verbs. And you'll see that every once in a while. So you could translate, if you rise up as the eagle, and if between the stars you put your nest, or the passive participle, your nest is placed. Okay? You could also take nest as the object of tagbiyah. If you lift up or raise on high your nest as an eagle, and if between the stars your nest is placed, so you could do that too. And so you'll see translations both ways. Misham, from there, oridaka, I will bring you down. That's the same word that we had in the previous verse. Except this is the first common singular. I will bring you down from your rod. Hifil form. Ne'um Adonai, says the Lord. Okay? Questions through verse 4. A little confusing syntax, a little challenging here. Everything good? Okay. So here we have another conditional clause coming. And notice how he's kind of giving these hypothetical cases here. All right, or especially in verse 4. See, even if you could make your nest as high as the eagle and put it in the stars, from there I'm going to bring you down. Okay? Now verse 5. Im ganavim ba'u lecha, im sho dede laila, ech nid meta, halo yig nevu dayam, im botzrim ba'u lach, halo yashiru olelot. Okay. If ganavim, if thieves came to you, ba'u from bo, again, simple call. Okay, common, third common plural. If thieves came to you, if shodadeh, again, that's just a participle of shadad, means to destroy. So it's in construct form. So violent people of the night. Okay, or, yeah, so literally it's violent people of the night. So if thieves came to you, if oppressors in the night is probably how I would translate it. Now you have this interjection, how nid meta, how you would become destroyed. This is a nifal form from the root dama in the call form. Well, it means to cease or to end, so nifal, to be ended, to be destroyed. This is a second masculine singular form. And the hey at the end is just a spelling thing. Okay? So how you have been destroyed. Halo, notice that's a question. Would they not, yignavu, would they not steal from ganav, call imperfect, third masculine sing, plural, would they not steal dayam? Dai is enough or sufficiency plus Yam is a suffix, the third masculine plural suffix. Would they not steal their sufficiency? So would they not steal enough for themselves? In other words, there'd be nothing stopping them. Okay. Again, im boats rim. A boats air is a grape picker. And this is a participle used as substantive. So if grape pickers came to you, okay, would they not leave yashiru? That's again from sha'ar. It's a hifil form to leave. And so in the call, it would be to, it's an intransitive to leave or to forsake. Here, to leave something. Would they not leave olelo, the gleanings? So in other words, they'd take all the best grapes and take everything. That's how Edom is going to be destroyed. So again, if thieves came to you, if violent men in the night, how you would be destroyed. Okay? Would they not steal Dayam, their sufficiency? Or if grape pickers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? So
is the sense of this a little bit like this is going to be even worse than that? I mean, if the thieves came, they would take the stuff they want, but they'd at least leave something behind.
They'd take what they need.
There would at least be gleanings left behind. Yeah. But this is going to be far worse than that.
Yeah, I think that that's a good way to take it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between Makah and Lach? The two
all right, okay. Yeah, everyone always asks that question. Notice the second one, you have the accent there, the lock.
Yeah.
So the vowel is lengthened. So it looks like a third or a second feminine singular, but it's not. It's just the, because, that's a kaf there.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Eik nech pesu esav nivu matzpunav. Okay. How... chapas is to seek in the call form. This is a nifal. Everybody see this? Nifal form, and it's a plural. Okay, everybody see the third common plural form. So chapas to search, so they are searched. How they are searched. And the subject is Esau, Esav. And it's a collective noun with a plural verb, which happens a lot. Okay. How Esau has been searched out. Niv'u is a synonym. This is another nifal form from ba'a, again, to seek or to search out. Okay? And matz punav. So matz pon is a hidden treasure. Zafan means to hide. All right? So put the mem on it and you have a noun there. So his hidden treasures. So how Esau has been searched out. His treasures have been, again, searched out. I don't know another word. Mined or dug out or something like that, his secret treasure. So everything's been revealed. Okay. Verse 7, Ad ha-gevul shilchuka kol anshe beriteka hishiuka yaklu laka anshe shalomecha. Lach mecha yasimu mazor tach teka ein tevunabo. Okay. Up to the border they have sent you. Okay, notice that shilchu is a peel form from shalach, very common. So up to the border they have sent you. So in other words, people have escorted them out of their land. All the men of Beriteka, all the men of your covenant, so namely your allies, the men of your covenant is your allies, all your allies, how they have sent you to the border, okay? So even your allies are turning against you. Hishiuka, they have deceived you. Again, that's the same word we saw in verse 3. Here, notice in verse 3 it's Hishieka, it's a third masculine singular here. It's the third common plural. Hishiuka. They have deceived you. Yaklu leka. They have overcome you. Again, that's a simple call perfect from yakal. And the other one, hishiuka, is from nasha, first nun verb. Okay. Men of shalomecha, men of your peace. Again, another word for allies. Okay. Lach makat, your bread they have made into as mazor, as a fetter or a bond, tachteka, under you. Okay, ein tevuna bo, there is no understanding in him. Again, you see the switch. You lack understanding, or he lacks understanding. Okay, let me stop there for today. Do you have any questions about anything?
In the notes, there are always all kinds of references to Jeremiah.
Yes. Yes, one of the things you see about Obadiah is its intertextuality. There is, it makes use of other allusions and verses from other prophets, and one of the big ones is Jeremiah. And so the apparatus helps you with some of that, and if you look in other commentaries, they will point some of those things out to you as well. There's a lot of, remember, Obadiah is one of those prophets that there's a lot of different dating, some dated very early, some dated late. Again, Professor Robbie makes a really good case, which a number of scholars follow, for the 6th century, so kind of in the middle of the exile, exilic period. And what's happened is Edom participated with Babylon in routing Jerusalem. And if that's the historical background, that's what the prophecy is talking about. Now, again, that's not the only possibility, but it seems like a reasonable thing. And remember, Edom was related kind of blood to Israel, Jacob and Esau. So that's why he makes this reference to, he'll make a reference to the relationship between the two nations. Okay, that's why their treatment is especially harsh here. Okay?
Is Obadiah, is that a servant of Yahweh?
Yes.
And so this is kind of Malachi where it's we don't know who it is.
We don't have anything. This is all you get, yep.
So it could be, that could be his name, or it could be...
As far as we know, it's his name, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no reason not to take it as his name. Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, you guys.